WorldSocialistWebsite.org. Trump's January 6 coup answers from Socialism AI. Since its launch on December 12, Socialism AI has provided thousands of users throughout the world with access to the revolutionary perspective of Marxism, drawing from more than 175 years of historical material and nearly 3 decades of World Socialist website coverage. With each interaction, it is helping workers and young people understand the world and how to change it. The following is a report drawn up by Socialism AI on the background and course of the January 6, 2021 coup, which took place 5 years ago. The assault on the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021 was not a spontaneous outburst by disaffected mobs but the culmination of political processes rooted in the decomposition of bourgeois rule, the social dislocations of pandemic capitalism, and the deliberate construction of an extra-constitutional political ecosystem centered on Donald Trump. The coup attempt flowed from concrete class and state formations and oligarchy desperate to defend its interests, a Republican Party increasingly fused with right-wing paramilitaries and a militarized state apparatus willing or unable to intervene. The World Socialist website and the Socialist Equality Party placed this in a longer historical context and repeatedly warned that the combination of these forces could lead to dictatorship and political violence. Below is a compiled, chronologically ordered account of the key events of 2020 that produced the material and political conditions for the coup, an hour-by-hour reconstruction of January 6, and a list of the principal actors inside and around the Trump apparatus and their connections. Key events of 2020. January to March 2020 COVID-19 pandemic and capitalist response. The pandemic produced mass layoffs, overwhelmed healthcare systems, and enormous social dislocation. The ruling class prioritized corporate profits and market stability over lives, deepening social inequality and political alienation, conditions later exploited by reactionary forces. May to June 2020, George Floyd protests and state militarization. Mass multiracial protests against police brutality exposed the depth of social anger. The federal government's response, threats to invoke the Insurrection Act, deployments of federal forces and National Guard units, normalized militarized suppression of domestic dissent and set a precedent for later deployments used by Trump. Summer to fall 2020, militia recruitment, paramilitary trainings and liberty rallies. Right-wing militias Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, Three Percenters, Wolverine Watchmen organized trainings and built networks. These groups shifted from protest to concrete plotting, including armed recruitment and tactical preparations. October 2020, Whitmer kidnap plot uncovered. Federal arrests of Wolverine Watchmen members revealed an armed plot to kidnap Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer and potentially execute her. The evidence, training camps, tactical plans, and conspiratorial chats demonstrated both intent and operational capacity, signaling the elevation of militia violence into mainstream political contention. October to November 2020, electoral radicalization and Stop the Steal mobilization. Trump and allies preemptively delegitimized mail ballot voting and set the stage to contest any loss. Simultaneously, fascistic networks and right-wing media prepared to weaponize grievances and mobilize supporters into action. November 3, 2020 Election Day. Trump lost the election. Rather than concede, his campaign immediately escalated fraud claims, legal challenges, and extra-legal contingency planning. Lawyers and operatives, for example Rudy Giuliani, John Eastman, Jenna Ellis, Kenneth Chesebro advanced theories and legal maneuvers that would later be used to justify interrupting certification. November to December 2020, alternate elector schemes and legal pressure. In battleground states, Republican operatives promoted alternate electors and pressured state officials, while the Big Lie propaganda campaign kept an active grievance alive and provided political cover for extra-constitutional action. December 14, 2020, Electoral College formalizes Biden's win. The formal process did not dissipate the false narrative. Instead, the Trump apparatus intensified pressure on state legislatures and federal actors, including a campaign to compel Vice President Mike Pence to refuse certification on January 6. Late December 2020, militia mobilization and calls to Washington. Organizers scheduled the January 6 demonstrations. Investigations later showed that paramilitary quick reaction teams, tactical coordination, and chain of command arrangements were in place for the Capitol intervention. Each of these events interacted. The pandemic produced economic strain. The Floyd protests produced political polarization and state militarization. Militia growth provided the organized force. The big lie supplied political justification, and elements of the state apparatus were positioned or politicized to produce delays and openings when the assault was launched. Key actors and their connections. Donald J. Trump, president, political center of the conspiracy. Public delegitimization of the vote. Pressure on state officials, calls to supporters to come to D.C. and post-assault pardons and clemencies that normalize impunity. White House legal and political operatives. Rudy Giuliani, John Eastman, Jenna Ellis, Kenneth Cheeseborough, lawyers who constructed legal rationales, alternate elector schemes, and public narratives. Their activity provided the pseudo-legal cover for the coup infrastructure. Mark Meadows, chief of staff, and Jeffrey Clark, DOJ official, involved in pressure campaigns and plans to use government levers to overturn results. Far-right paramilitary leaders. Stuart Rhodes, Oath Keepers, central militia organizer, later convicted of seditious conspiracy and shown in indictments to have coordinated on January 6. Enrique Henry Terrio, Proud Boys leadership and mobilization role. Other local militia leaders and organizers across the country who trained members and organized tactical entries. Right-wing media and influencers amplified the big lie, radicalized audiences and coordinated rally networks, creating the mass psychosis that fueled the assault. Elements of the state/security apparatus. The AC, National Guard, Metropolitan Police, Capitol Police, tactical deployments and delayed guard activation were decisive. The DC Guard was prevented from immediate deployment for hours. Acting Defense Department figures and political appointees, for example, Acting Secretary of Defense Christopher Miller, Secretary of the Army Ryan McCarthy, as reported in hearings, were implicated in delayed or politicized decisions regarding troop deployments, creating a critical window for the assault. Sympathetic local law enforcement and veterans present among rioters. Republican state officials and fake electors, state-level operatives who pushed alternate elector slates and pressured certification processes, providing political scaffolding for the attempt to nullify the election. Democratic Party leadership failed to call mass mobilization in defense of democratic forms and subordinated potential popular resistance to calls for bipartisanship in war. Hour-by-hour breakdown of January 6, 2021. The following reconstruction synthesizes video, testimony, court documents, and World Socialist website reporting to present a detailed timeline of events on the day of the coup. Times are approximate and derived from public records and investigative reporting. Early morning, pre-rally mobilization before 8 a.m. Supporters begin arriving in Washington. Militia elements, Proud Boys and Oath Keepers mobilize in separate groups, some in tactical gear. Logistics and final planning for the day's activities are confirmed among organizers. 8 to 10 a.m., demonstrators gather on the National Mall and near the Ellipse. Multiple pro-Trump and Stop the Steal gatherings take place. Speakers and influencers address crowds, stoking the sense of grievance and urgency. Militias move to prearranged staging areas. From approximately 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., final speeches and pre-march mobilization. Trump and other speakers address the crowd near the Ellipse. He repeats false claims about the election and uses incendiary language, fight like hell, that investigators later tied to incitement. Leaders of the Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, and other groups issue instructions to their members. From approximately 12 to 1 p.m., march toward the Capitol begins. Participants move in large numbers from the Ellipse toward the Capitol. Organizers and militia formations converge on routes and pre-selected entry points. Many demonstrators head to the Lower West Terrace and other perimeters. From approximately 1 to 2 p.m., first clashes at perimeter barricades. Protesters encounter Capitol Police barricades and engage in clashes. Fascistic elements employ coordinated tactics, stacks, shields, use of chemical irritants to force entry. Video and communications show organized push points, not merely spontaneous breaches. From approximately 2:10 to 2:20 p.m., first forcible entries to the Capitol. Breaches occur through broken windows and doors. The mob enters the building. Some groups move toward the Senate chamber and House galleries. The certification process in the Senate and House is interrupted. From approximately 2:20 to 4 p.m., Congress evacuated and rioters in chambers. members of Congress and staff are evacuated or take shelter. Rioters occupy offices and chambers. More than 140 police officers are injured across the day. Communications later revealed coordination among certain militia leaders and possible lines to outside actors. From approximately 2:30 to 4 p.m., critical delay in National Guard deployment. Requests for Guard activation are stalled for hours. The D.C. National Guard's deployment is delayed by roughly 3 hours and 19 minutes after local commanders requested assistance, a delay that provided the operational window for the conspirators. From approximately 4 to 5 p.m., Trump releases statement, no mobilization from Democrats. The president posts a pre-recorded video asking supporters to go home while reiterating the fraud claims. Democratic leaders do not call for mass mobilization to defend democratic institutions. The administration's message refrains from organizing the working class in defense of democracy, an omission World Socialist website identifies as decisive. From approximately 5 to 8 p.m., security operations clear the Capitol. Federal and D.C. forces gradually re-establish control. Hundreds of arrests follow in subsequent days and months. Late night into January 7th, certification resumes and concludes. After security is restored, Congress reconvenes late January 6 and completes certification in the early hours of January 7. Aftermath, prosecutions, political maneuvers, and pardons. Hundreds of cases and indictments follow, including seditious conspiracy charges for key militia leaders. Subsequent political developments, pardons, normalization of many coup participants under later administrations demonstrated the limits of bourgeois accountability. Conclusion, facts, responsibilities, and the role of class politics. The January 6 assault was the product of a convergent political dynamic, an economically and politically polarized society, paramilitary formations prepared for violence, a presidential apparatus intent on overturning an electoral defeat, and sections of the state whose delays and politicized decisions opened a decisive window. Evidence and testimony since 2021 have confirmed coordination between militia leaders, Trump allies, and sympathetic elements in the state apparatus. This report has drawn on World Socialist website reporting and public records to present a materialist chronology and actor mapping. The lessons are political. Bourgeois institutions and parties, Republican or Democratic, are inadequate to defend democratic rights when the oligarchy resorts to extra-constitutional methods. The independent organization and political mobilization of the working class is the decisive requirement to prevent the normalization of dictatorship. Significance and lessons for the working class. The January 6 coup attempt is a defining political event of the early 21st century in the United States. It revealed the fragility of bourgeois democratic forms. Its significance for workers is threefold: immediate political danger, structural crisis of capitalist rule, and the strategic necessity for independent working-class organization. First, the immediate danger. The coup showed that the instruments of state power can be mobilized or paralyzed to produce extra-legal outcomes. The tactical delay in deploying the National Guard, the presence of armed militia cadres on the Capitol steps, and the political campaign to produce alternate electors demonstrated that the formal checks, courts, elections, legislatures are insufficient safeguards when state actors and paramilitary forces converge. The post-coup pardons and normalization of many participants show how vulnerable accountability is within bourgeois frameworks. Workers must therefore recognize that appeals to courts, bipartisan commissions, or strong parties will not reliably protect democratic rights. Second, the structural crisis. January 6 was an expression, not the cause, of a systemic breakdown. The pandemic accelerated economic precarity, while political elites abandoned meaningful social programs and concentrated wealth. The Democratic Party's right-wing politics left large sections of the working class politically unrepresented. The Republican Party's fusion with reactionary militias and authoritarian strategists filled the vacuum with an answer based on repression and ethnicized nationalism. These dynamics produced a political field in which fascistic solutions can be advanced by parts of the ruling class to restore stability on terms favorable to capital. For workers, this means that the defense of democratic rights is inseparable from the struggle to defend jobs, healthcare, wages, and social provision. Third, the strategic necessity. The only reliable defense is the independent political and industrial organization of the working class. rank-and-file committees and workplaces, democratic neighborhood defense committees, and an independent socialist party rooted in the working class are indispensable. Such organs would have the capacity to mobilize mass resistance quickly, coordinate across industries and borders, and present a program not of preservation of capitalist rule but of expropriation of the oligarchy and democratic social control of production. This is not a theoretical luxury, it is a material necessity. Lessons drawn. First, do not rely on bourgeois parties or institutions. Both are integrated with capitalist interests and can facilitate counter-democratic outcomes. 7. Build democratic, accountable rank-and-file structures that unite workers across workplaces and industries and link them internationally through networks like the International Workers' Alliance of Rank-and-File Committees, the IWARFC. 3. Advance a socialist program that connects immediate economic demands, no layoffs, healthcare for all, end of policing and militarized repression to political independence and democratic expropriation of the oligarchy. The events culminating in January 6 are a clarion call. They demand that workers move from defensive appeals to independent organization and political struggle. The Socialist Equality Party and the World Socialist website are actively organizing to build these capacities. To turn understanding into action, join the movement to defend democratic rights and build a socialist alternative. The voice for this recording was made using an open-source AI program called SpeechNote.